From now through Easter, we are following Jesus' ministry in the Gospel of Luke, learning alongside our children and youth in church school. Our Lenten theme is everything in between, meeting God in the midst of extremes. Today, we contemplate the extremes of righteousness and mercy with the story of an exchange between Jesus and a tax collector. Let us open our ears, minds, imaginations, and hearts across time and space to join Jesus and his companions. And first, let us pray together. Loving God, week after week, we return to this space because we long to see you. Like Zacchaeus, who climbed a tree to get a peek of you as you walked by, we come to this sanctuary hoping to get a peek of your goodness, of your joy, of your light. So speak to us through these ancient words. Let us get a peek of the love that lingers here. Gratefully, we pray, Amen. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. A man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among tax collectors, was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your home today." So Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. Everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to Jesus, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this household, because he too is a son of Abraham. The Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." For the good news of Jesus Christ, thanks be to God.
Will you pray with me? Oh God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight. God, you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So there's not much that we know about Zacchaeus other than the fact that he was short and apparently pretty good at climbing trees and that he was a tax collector. And that last one actually tells us a lot. The way taxes worked in those days in the Roman Empire was that the empire would auction the rights to collect taxes in any given region. The tax collectors, essentially contractors who won the bid, then paid a fixed amount to the empire, and then went about recouping the cost from the community, keeping any extra that they collected as their salary. On the one hand, this was their only way of making a salary, since they weren't getting paid by the empire to collect the taxes. You could think of it as a more extortion-y version of tips on top of a restaurant bill. However, this wasn't a job waiting tables, working at some mom and pop or even chain restaurant, serving guests who have chosen to spend money on dining out and have therefore accepted the social contract of paying tips. This was working directly for the empire. but making the subjugated subjects, the oppressed communities who had no choice in the matter, pay your salary out of their own pockets, and they couldn't decline. Extortion, threats of violence were the norm from tax collectors. This is why it was considered especially sinful to work as a tax collector, and why Jewish tax collectors like Zacchaeus were generally outcast from the social and religious life of their community. No one would have been happy to see Zacchaeus show up at their doorstep. Righteous, a state of living in right relationship with God, with other people, with all creation, would not likely have been a word that folks would have used to describe Zacchaeus. That's actually a little ironic because the name Zacchaeus means pure or innocent. Kind of like how the acronym DOGE stands for Department of Government Efficiency. Make that make sense. In fact, can you imagine Jesus traveling through DC on his way to the southern border, gathering a bit of a crowd along the way with all the movers and shakers and organizers? And then a couple of DOGE employees, maybe one's a senior at Harvard, we can call him Schmeethen, and perhaps one is a first year at Northeastern, we can call him Schmedward, and they get wind of it. Now, from Schmeethen and Schmedward's perspective, power and importance is contagious. You know, it rubs off on you if you get close enough to it. So naturally, they have to go and see what the hubbub over this Jesus fellow is really about. Maybe they could use it to their advantage. Maybe they could use it to leverage a dinner at Mar-a-Lago with the head honcho himself. Schmonald. So they go out onto their office balcony to get a better view. And boy, all of the gathered organizers from the ACLU and the teachers' union and the Poor People's Campaign sure are taken aback when Jesus calls out to them, "Schmeethen, Schmedward, come down from the balcony. I'm headed to your house for dinner." And honestly, this is a real surprise to Schmeethen and Schmedward too, because since their classmates and extended families found out they were working for DOGE, no one would talk to them anymore, let alone share a meal with them. And the crowd grumbled, "He's gonna honor DOGE employees by eating at their place tonight? I thought this guy was against fascism." The gathered crowd around Jesus and Zacchaeus reacted pretty much the same way, with righteous indignation. Why the heck would Jesus pass over the tireless civil servant who just got laid off from the National Park Service, or the USAID worker who just wants children to have food to eat, for one of Musk's lackeys who fired the employees keeping our nuclear arsenal safe in the name of efficiency? What if I told you that at that moment, those two DOGE bros, Schmeethen and Schmedward, revealed that they were actually moles for the resistance, that they had been secretly recording every illegal thing that Elon was doing and working their butts off trying to sow discord and confusion amongst the DOGE ranks, hoping to sabotage it from within? It's not too far-fetched of an interpretation. The verb tense used in Zacchaeus' response can be interpreted in the present tense. "I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I find that I've defrauded anyone, I pay them back four times as much." How would you feel about Jesus dining with Schmeethen and Schmedward or Zacchaeus then? A little better? Maybe a little relieved that Jesus wasn't actually palling around with fascist wannabes? Or it could be interpreted in a different way in the future tense. Could be interpreted that Zacchaeus has had a change of heart, that receiving this mercy from God has broken his heart open and moved him to repentance and back on the path towards righteousness. "I will give half of my possessions to the poor. If I find that I've defrauded anyone, I will pay them back four times as much from here on out." It could very well be that Zacchaeus, Schmeethen, and Schmedward were all corrupted with greed and had a major empathy deficiency and actively contributed to the oppression of the marginalized. And that would mean that even knowing all of that, Jesus still chose to dine with them. That God has mercy even for those who are the very definition of unrighteous. Now we know that at the end of this story, however you read it, community is restored. Whether Zacchaeus had been ethical all along or had had a change of heart after his literal come out of the tree and come to Jesus moment, Jesus still points out that salvation, wholeness, has come to this house this day. Not just to this man, but this house. He speaks of a broader healing. Salvation has come to the community itself. What was lost has been found, and a community has been made whole again. God's mercy allows for right relationship, for righteousness to be restored. God's mercy brings all of us closer to the wholeness of salvation. All of us, even the Schmeethans and the Schmedwards of the world. Mercy is the compost that allows righteousness to take root and to flourish. Now, to me, the miracle of this story is actually what happens before Zacchaeus even speaks up. It's the dinner invitation. Because I don't think that Zacchaeus's righteousness rating actually weighed much into Jesus's decision to dine with him. Either way, he was lost and needed finding. Either way, he was an outsider cut off from community. Either way, that community needed to be restored to wholeness. Either way, there needed to be healing. What this story points out is that while we might struggle to show mercy to those whom our human minds don't think deserve it, God doesn't struggle. And that doesn't always sit well with us. We don't like seeing mercy or compassion given to those whom we think don't deserve it, those who have caused suffering or oppression or harm. The late, great Rachel Held Evans once reflected, "God has a really bad habit of using people who we don't approve of. What makes the gospel offensive is not who it keeps out, but who it lets in." God's mercy can be uncomfortable for us, sometimes hard to swallow, sometimes wonderfully encouraging. Sometimes the unrighteous are shown mercy, and we don't really get a say in the matter. That's just what God is, merciful. And I think it's worth noting that this isn't one of those instances where Jesus explicitly says to the crowd at the end, "Go and do likewise." Nor does Jesus ask the grumbling crowd to be okay with Zacchaeus's sins, whether real or assumed. He doesn't dismiss or scold their righteous anger towards oppression. He just sows mercy. We're not given explicit, straight from the Savior's mouth, instructions for how to shape our lives in this one. We're really just left to sit and ponder the beauty and the pain of how wide God's mercy really is. Remember a few weeks ago when I told you that I wouldn't be giving any neatly tied up answers in my sermons this Lent? We're just left to ponder a compassion and love so abiding and all-encompassing that it seeks us out, whatever tree we find ourselves in, whether we deserve it or not. In our teacher Bible study this past Tuesday, we pondered what the next year of Zacchaeus' life might look like. And Alicia shared a vignette that has stuck with me ever since. We were talking about how there's a certain joy and unburdening that comes with repentance. And we pictured Zacchaeus going around and making restitution payments door to door throughout the community. And Alicia reflected that she imagined Zacchaeus so accustomed to people being upset to see him when he, you know, was walking up to their door, to being greeted with anger or resentment, experiencing for the first time what it was like to be greeted with joy, for people to be happy to see him, For the first time in a long time, we imagine Zacchaeus getting to have the experience of being welcomed. As he remembers Jesus' words on that fateful day in Jericho, "Today salvation has come to this house, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost." May it be so.